last week we were looking at living by faith, and then we said, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, what the Bible says is that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the promise of the Spirit can only be received through faith. We need to understand that. In fact, anything that is not of faith is sin. So all our life is about faith. Now, last week we said in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Then we also said last week that in four different places, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. All those four passages finish with the word that says, the just shall live by faith. So if a righteous man, if you give your life to Christ, you declare righteous because of what Jesus did, because of that you're a just man, and the only way to live is by faith. And then we went on and on and on, and there was we hit one very important verse of the Bible, Colossians 2:6. We said in Colossians 2:6, in NLT it says, and now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. The same way you accepted Jesus Christ, believe, you had the gospel, you believed the gospel, and then you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the same way, you're going to get everything you need from the kingdom. One emphasis is that, look, we need to learn how to receive things from God. And then we shared something very important, very, very important. That see, if somebody comes in here and we try to get him to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, then we did everything, we shared the gospel with him, tell him some scriptural passages, and if he does not receive Jesus Christ, he keeps saying, I don't understand. And I ask you that, look, we need to fast, we need to pray, we need to agree, hold the hand of God to get this man saved. I'm sure most of you will not join me. Why? Because we know that God has done His part. You know, and the same thing goes to healing, goes to financial prosperity, and every other part. God has also done His part. And so, there is no problem with the giving end. The problem is with the receiving end. Now, one of the important things which we need to understand for today's part of the teaching is we need to know that now we can divide a human being. All of us can be, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we're spirit, soul, and body. But okay, for the purpose and emphasis of tonight's teaching, I want us to look at ourselves from the inward man and the outward man. Now, the outward man is this part of us that we see. And then, but we're much more than that by virtue of the fact that the giving of life to Christ is an inward man. There's somebody on the inside of you who can communicate with God, which you can refer to as a spirit to spirit communication between you and God. Now, because the devil knows that, so when you want to receive things by faith, what does he do? He flashes things on the outward man, so that fear will come. And when fear comes, faith goes down. I was teaching somewhere and I told them, I say, fear and faith is like a seesaw. You know the seesaw that children play with? Now, if faith is going up, fear goes down. Now, but when fear is coming up, faith goes down. You know? So what the devil does is he can appeal to the outward man to bring fear. We saw it in the story of Medrash, Shadrach, and Abednego, and then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, say, fan up the fire 7 times. You know, what was the devil trying to do? Put fear in Medrash, Shadrach, and Abednego. One dose of the fire is not to burn them. But they make it 7 times. You know, so that when they hear something, fear will grip their heart and they may like to succumb. And that's what the devil does. But they were strong. And they says, look, if you like, make it 10 times. We shall not bow to your God. They say, our God is does not deliver us, we sin over. Now, that's the part that is difficult for most Christians to say. Now, look, even if God does not do it, He's still our God. You know? And it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change what I believe about God. Now, we also said something very crucial, that for faith to occur, there must be hearing. Not only hearing, there must be a commitment. And I illustrated something, and I'm going back because I just want to pick it up on what I did last week. Now, we need to know that there's a difference between hope, mental asset, and faith. And I illustrated that last week. I said, a woman who is trusting God for his son's school fees, if she goes around everywhere looking for who will give her a loan or help her, or give her a scholarship or something she couldn't find, she comes back and people describe her case as hopeless. You know, they say her case is hopeless. Now, but the moment she begins to hear about somebody who is in town, who is kind and rich, and they told him that they had helped somebody before, hope begins to come up. He hears that there's a big man in town, he's very rich and he's very kind. He has given scholarship to this person, to that person, even this other person that he doesn't even know. Approached him and he got a scholarship. Now, hope begins to rise up. Now, that hope is not faith. That hope cannot pay the bill. You know? So that's hope. Now, when the woman begins to say, I know that this Mr. Jackson, who is very rich and very wealthy, if I go to see him, he will write me a check of $10,000 to pay this bill. And she keeps saying that. She keeps saying that. She keeps saying that. And she does not take a step of faith to see Mr. Jackson. That's mental asset. You believe in your head, but you are not taking any action to back up what you believe. That's mental asset. And a lot of Christians, that's where we dwell. We do a lot of confession with our head, but not from our heart. I know why it's not from our heart, because the scriptures is not dwelling there. That's what we talk about today. Now, until the woman goes to see Mr. Jackson, and Mr. Jackson says to him, come on Monday, and I will give you a check of $10,000. Now, that is a verbal commitment. So he becomes faith. So she can go to the school tomorrow morning, Friday, and say, look, please keep the space for my son. I'll be back with $10,000 to pay the bills. So we need to understand that very well. Now, let's go to the second part. Now, how does this faith work? How do I... Now that I've heard that I need to live by faith, how do I get myself into it and begin to live by faith and begin to receive things from God, my healing, my breakthrough, my victories, my financial needs, and all the rest. Everything that God has promised me, like we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 last week, how do I translate them from the heavenly realms to the physical realms? Now, the first thing you need to know, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Romans 12:3, he says, because of the privilege and authority God has given us, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Can you give me that in King James? Okay, each time I listen to your teaching from Nigeria, I always say, King James people are decreasing. Okay. All right. I'll back you up today with this one. You know, I want to encourage us, please take time and be part of Bible studies. I know virtually all the preachings that goes on in the church. I listen to every time, all the sermons. And you are the source. You can't be at the source and be missing, and those of us 8,000 miles away are benefiting. And you know how internet facilities are in Nigeria. Before you can hear a 1 hour sermon, your internet will be on for about 2.5 hours. It keeps going on and off. But yet, we thank God for the little privilege that we have. Alright, so he says, for I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you see, the challenge we have is that all of us start off with the same measure of faith. Pastor, like you say, I don't have time to, so I can continue to take care. Alright, so God has given to every man the measure of faith. So at the point of salvation, everybody starts with the same quantity of faith. I don't know whether you understand that. Everybody starts with the same quantity. Now, maybe we should use physical things to experience spiritual things. Now, the same way too, you know, if you take, I saw a young boy there, there's a young boy over there, and there are different statures of men here. Now, you see, all of us have the same muscles in our bicep chain. All of us. Same number. Now, some are stronger, some are bigger. What's the difference? Two things, food and exercise. It makes a difference. What you eat, and now you're exercising. Now, the most terrible thing for a man to do is to eat well and not exercise it. So he looks big in the hand. But when they tell him to carry a weight, he's sweating profusely to carry. You know, why? Because he's eating. But he's not exercising those muscles. So he can't carry what somebody who eats and exercises will carry. Now, the starting point for all of us is the same. If you really, really want to go very far in this walk with God, then you must build up your own faith. Like I said last week, no matter how much you love your wife, there are some things you can't do for her. You can't eat for your wife. You can't. She can't say, oh, I have a lot of work to do and I'm getting tired. Can you sleep for me? You know, so while you're sleeping, I'll be walking. And the same thing goes to the spiritual need, faith. I can't help you. You need to build up your faith, because when the issues of life are down, you need to get your own faith, your own walking. You know, even though to a reasonable extent, somebody will be able to help you, to a reasonable extent, you can lean on the anointing of another man. To a reasonable extent, God can show you mercy, but at the end of the day, you need to do something about your faith. Now, we need to understand something. Now, what makes a man's faith, or what makes a man physically look more developed than the other, is just two things: food and exercise. Now, the same thing. What will make your faith get stronger and better than the person next to you is also about the word and exercise. Now, when you hear the word, you live by it and you exercise it. Now, Matthew 4:4 tells us, Matthew 4:4, it says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Now, I can go back to the King James, please. You know, it is very, very important that you understand that man shall not live by bread alone. So there's a written word, and then there's a spoken word. Now, anyone who will understand the spoken word of God must first of all understand the written word. So it takes us back to what most Christians don't like to hear. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. There's a need for us to go back to the basics, to take quality time to study our Bible. Now, like I said, because we can divide ourselves into two parts, the outer man and the inner man. Now, the outer man operates by feelings, or by the senses, but the inner man operates by what God has said. Amen. So if I pray, what do I expect? I am not going to be moved by how I feel when I finish praying. Most of the time, when you finish praying, there's a tendency that you feel good or you feel better. But we are not going to get excited because of how you feel, because that feelings can be deceptive. We get excited because God told us in Matthew 7:7, we say, when we ask, we shall what? He said, when you seek, you will find. 5, he said, when you knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now, we base our confidence on what God has said, not how we feel. So that's very, very important. Very, very important. Real faith in God believes the word of God regardless of what the physical evidence is saying. Now, but the challenge we have is that a lot of believers want to see on the outside before they believe on the inside. Now, but if you're going to get a result, you have to, first of all, believe on the inside before you can receive on the outside. The greatest hindrance to faith is the lack of the knowledge of God's word. If you have a good knowledge of the word, if you have a good knowledge of the word of God, nothing can be kept from working for you in your life. And so, if a man begins to think that rather than study the word of God, he begins to pray that God should give him faith, because as simple like that, they pray for faith. If you begin to pray for faith, it nullifies the scripture of the Bible, Romans 10:17. Because Romans 10:17 says something very important. It says, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. Now, look at how NLT puts it. It says, so faith cometh by hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. Now, if you're going to build your faith, it centers about a good understanding of what Christ has done for you. That's why I always appreciate Apostle Paul. Now, even the disciples didn't understand what Jesus did. All that Jesus went through on the cross, everything, he didn't make much meaning to disciples. That's why immediately Jesus died, Peter carried his net. He said, let's go back and fish. The man we thought was going to help us is no more here. But it was Apostle Paul that came. He started explaining these things to us one by one. And understand. That's why we have understanding. And so, brethren, if you're going to have faith, it has to be coming from hearing and hearing the good news about Christ. That's why, if you really want to study your Bible, people, emphasis are always made to us on the new covenant, that we should put good attention on the letters of Paul. Because the whole Bible is the word of God. But understanding what Paul is saying in his letters will go a long way to help us. Now tonight, I want to just open your eyes to something that we need to grow your faith. And I'm going to read a very long passage for you in the Old Testament. And then I'll share three things. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Now I want to see something very important there. I'm going to read from 1 to 21. Long one. But just follow me. If you can give me an NLT, it'll be good. Yeah. Isaiah 30, 1 to 21. Now, I may not be able to pass across all that I have from this long passage to you, but when you get back home, just take time and read it again and again and again, and then you can relate it to what we're talking about, living by faith, and see what God is trying to say to the Israelites, even the Old Testament. Now I read Isaiah 30, 1 to 21. What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You have alliance not directly with my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shame. But by trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated, and by depending on him, you will be disgraced. Now, you know what God is trying to say here? He's talking about those who are depending on the hand of the flesh. Those who are trusting on what they do. Now, in the new covenant, if you want to relate this to the new covenant, trusting on what you do, not what Christ has done. Those who make decisions by what they see, by what they hear, by what they feel, and so on and so forth. And without any referral back to Christ. Now, see what God is saying there. In verse 3, he says, but by trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated, and by depending on him, you will be disgraced. Verse 4. For though his power extends to Zion, to Zoan, and his officials have arrived in Hades, all who trust in him will be ashamed. He will not help you. Instead, he will disgrace you. The message came to me concerning the animals in Negev, the caravan. caravan moves slowly across the terrible desert of Egypt. Donkeys weighed down with riches, and camels loaded with treasures, all to pay for Egypt's protection. They travel to the wilderness, the place of lioness and lions, the place where vipers and poisonous snakes live. All this, and Egypt will give you nothing in return. Egypt's promises are worthless. Therefore, I call her Rahab, the harmless dragon. Now, go and write down this word. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instruction. Verse 10. They tell the seers, stop seeing visions. They tell the prophet, don't tell us what is right. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all these glooms. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about the Holy One of Israel. This is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. Because you despise what I tell you and trust instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly, like a bulging wall that bursts and falls. In an instant, it will collapse and come crashing down. We'll be smashed like a piece of pottery, shattered so completely that there won't be a piece big enough to carry coal from the fireplace or a little water from the well. Verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and in confidence is your strength, but you will have none of it. You said, no, we will get our help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses to ride into battle. But the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of the enemy chasing you. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. Five of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tapered banner on a distant mountain top. Verse 18. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cry. Verse 20. Now, take note of verse 20 and 21. He said, though the Lord gave you adversity for food and sufferings for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. He will see your teachers. You will see your teachers with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him right behind you, a voice saying, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Now, my emphasis will be on this last part. But you see all that the passage was talking about. Now, he was talking about those who depend on the arm of the flesh and those who depend on God. Now, it is the same thing we're talking about now. At the point, they were saying, tell us lies, tell us what we want to hear. Does it not look like the church of today? Everyone want to hear exactly what they want to hear. But now, God is not too pleased with them. Now, God is never pleased with those who depend on the arms of the flesh. God is never delighted with those who are trusted in the strength of Egypt. He wants people to rely on him. He wants you to rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he got to verse 21, he said, do the Lord give you adversity for food and suffering for drinks. Now, so he's saying that even though God is upset with you, God is not too happy with you. He said three things he will do. He said, he will still be with you to teach you. He will still be with you to teach you. Now, for your faith to walk, you must understand the three things I want to share with you. Now, he said, number one, no matter what you're going through, he said, I will still be with you to teach you. Now, a lot of Christians must understand that. See, sometimes when the issues of life are down, let me use sickness as an example. There are some times when you're sick for the first time, or at the initial part of your faith or walk with God. You come over, maybe you come to Reverend Pastor Emmanuel, he lays hands on you, get healed. It happens the second time, you go over to him, he lays hands on you again. You find out that gets to the point, he lays hands on you. Healing is not coming in. You know what I say? Grow up. Now, yesterday we were here at the prayer meeting, and our brother led prayer, was praying about growing to maturity. That's crucial. We as parents, we don't tolerate that with our children. You don't have children who remain babies forever. You know, at the point you expect them to begin to do things for themselves, and say, look, okay, come on, grow up. You know, when they're little children, 5, 4, 3, and they're trying to write, we hold their hands and trace it through the fingers. You can't be doing that for a 12-year-old child. See, you holding his hands to trace how to write, you know. But you see, now you're looking at me and saying, no, that can't happen. But the spiritual realms, that's what we do. People are still learning ABC after 10 years of being in church. You know, they don't know their left from the right. And what God is saying in this place, he said, okay, even though I'm not too happy with what you are doing, one of the things I will do, which he said in verse 20, he says in verse 20, he will still be with you to teach you. So, you remember that scripture in the book of Hebrews? He said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Now see, God never leaves us. He's always been there trying to show us the way of escape, trying to teach us, trying to get us rooted, trying to get us grounded in the Word of God. You know, I read a book written some years by Ken Higgins. He had a sister who had cancer, and he prayed for her, and God healed her. About 10 or 12 years after, he had cancer in another place. And God said to Ken Higgins, you don't have to pray for him this time. She's coming home. That she had 12 years to learn how it works. Never did. And that's why it's crucial that you learn how it works. Because the expectation of God is that you get to a point where you can depend on Him by yourself. Not even to your husband or to your wife. You know, that by yourself you can depend on Him. So, what is the first approach that God has? The first approach He has is that He will teach you by Himself. How will He teach you? Unless you open the Word of God and begin to study, He doesn't have a choice to teach you. He doesn't have a way to teach you. That's why He said in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua 1:8, He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He said, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Everybody likes last part of it, making our way prosperous and having good success. But they told us what to do to get to that point. God says you need to meditate on this word day and night. Put this book before you. Study this word. Create time for it. I know you're very busy here, but you need to create time for it. Amen. And the good thing about it, you have devices and gadgets all over the place. You can put the Bible on your phone. Your iPad, your hard copies, so many opportunities you have to study. You can't run away from it. It is not something you can wish away or avoid. Taking time as an individual to study the Bible. And God says, now, when you're in difficult times, the only way I have to bring you out is by my word. I don't have any other means. All that means I have might be temporary. But if I want to keep want me to keep delivering you, it has to be by the study of the word. And so God told Joshua, who was going to be a warrior, he said, look, this book of the law, get this book and meditate on it day and night. Regardless of what you do, regardless of the profession you find yourself, this book of the law has a power to help you. It has a power to help you. You see, my marriage is not working out the way it should go. This book of the law has a power to help you. Your finances is not what it's supposed to be. This book of the law has the power to help. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, still talking about He will still be with you to teach you. In Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20 and 22, He said, my son, give attention to my word. My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear unto my sayings. You know, verse, go on. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, do not let them depart from your eyes. keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let them get out of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22. It says, for they are life to those who find them. Now listen. He said, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, they are life to those who find them. So you may be reading and not find it. Amen. And that's why, wait. Now, can I tell you something I heard from Reverend, our pastor, when I was in Nigeria? Somebody came to him and I think had an issue. I can't remember exactly the story. But I remember him telling the person, he said, hey, you can't be reading biology when you have geography exams. you know what I'm trying to say? You're sick in your body and you're studying the seventh coming of the Lord. You understand? If you're sick, is it the seventh coming of the Lord you should be studying? You will go faster than you think. You should be studying about healing. You should take time and look for scriptures that talk about healing and begin to meditate on it. The Bible says, when you do that, for they are life to those who find them. So that you can find it, you need to spend time in it. So you can't have issues with your finances and you're reading general, just reading the Bible generally. Say, I have a plan to finish the Bible in the whole year. So what would that do for you? And then it took a whole month and you're reading about Jonah, how he sank into the water and all the rest. No, that will help you. You look for a good concordance and you go to scriptures that can help you. You know, and then you begin to meditate on it, and then you look for stories of people who had similar issues in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, people who have financial difficulties, like the woman that her husband left with debt, how God helped him, you know, how God helped Peter when he fished all night. So when you read such stories, it begins to, what does it do to you? It takes your faith level up, and then you begin to meditate on promises of God that talks about finances and all the rest. Now, it says, for they are life to those who find them. Now, when you do that, now you are meditating on the written word of God, and while you are doing that, there's a likelihood, a very high percentage, that the spoken word of God will flow. Amen. I heard someone said to me, he says, we're so poor that I started meditating on what God, on the promise of God for prosperity. I said, I did, until one day the light came. And when light came, see, the first thing that came out of my mouth is that I can never be poor again. Even though circumstances around me has not changed. But so much light has come that I now know that I can't be poor again. Now, that's what the word of God does to us. That's what God is saying to us. He says, look, no matter how bad the situation might be, He will still be with you to teach you. The only thing that God has to take you out is His word. I would say He sent forth His word unto us and He healed us. Not only in the body, but He heals us of every infirmity that we bear by His word. Amen. Someone said to me one day, he said, I wish Jesus was around. He said, things will have been simpler. I said, I pity you. What if where you are sick is in China and you are in Nigeria? So what will happen? And you give me a call and he says, oh, I'll be back in Nigeria in 6 months time. Now, if people don't realize that what God has done for us is far better, He Himself said, I will send the Comforter to you. You know? And while I said to the person, I said, look, that Jesus you are looking for to touch, it's easier to touch Him now by the word. John 1:14 says, what does it say? It was John 1:14. John 1:14, the word. He said, and the word became what? Flesh. So that Jesus that the woman with the issue of blood touched is still the word. So you can touch that word in your bedroom. You can touch that word in your office. You can even touch him while you're cooking. As you meditate to the word of God. So, number one thing is that He will still be with you to teach you. You know, He's not going to leave you with the problem. Every effort He makes to teach you. But you see, it will be difficult for God to teach you by the help of the Holy Spirit if you do not spend time on the Word of God. Brethren, can I put a challenge across you? Draw a new timetable for yourself. And say, I must create time for this one. Just like I create time for the physical food, you must create time for the Word of God. The second thing, which is also very important, he said, you will see your teachers with your own eyes. You will see your teachers with your own eyes. Now, that's also very important. That's also very important. A lot of people think, I know what to do. But God says, even though I'm not happy with you, but I will not take your teachers away from you. Amen. Teachers are like instructors. Paul says, even though you have so many instructors, you have only one father. No, your father is still part of the instructors that God gave to you. Your pastors is part of the instructors that God gave to you, but that's the principal instructor that you have. Now you see, this is where the issues are. When people don't like coming for Bible studies, when people don't like coming for times like this, and I know people are busy. I learned to do 2, 3, 4 jobs here. And that's what I had. I don't live here. Now, but you see, we also should ask God for help to be able to create time to come and hear. Now you see, when Pastor Emmanuel is teaching, what he's teaching you in 1 hour may have taken him days or weeks compressed together. Now, and when God sees that you have a need, he prepares his teachers to come and feed you along that direction. But when the food is ready and you're not available to eat, how will God help you? So you see, every day God is doing everything possible to get his children the place of help, to the place where he can build up their faith and help them to. I was sharing somewhere and I said to them, I've been a Christian for almost 30 years now. I say, I've never been out of church on a Sunday morning or a Bible study. If I'm not in town, I look for other church to go to. I can't imagine myself on a Sunday morning, I go sit down to watch the television and eat popcorn. I will not be comfortable. I mean, I don't know about you. You know, I have people say, oh, I'm just tired. I say, well, you're tired. You come to praise of God so that he can strengthen you. That's what he does. That's what he does. And you don't even know your day of visitation. So why are you staying away? Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 14. Acts 14, 8 to 11. 8 to 10, sorry. Acts 14, 8 to 10. Bible says, Acts 14, 8 to 10. Bible says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Verse 9. He said, this man had Paul speaking. This man had Paul speaking. This man had Paul speaking. If that man was not in Bible study that day, his miracle would have happened. This man had Paul speaking, observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, and said to him with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Now, if you look at that passage, if you don't look at it carefully, you say, Paul is a powerful man. No, but the man was available to hear the word of God. And while he was hearing, faith was building up. And there was a contact. And Paul said, man, this guy has faith to be healed. Get up and walk. Now, is it why you can't afford to miss Bible study? Don't know the day of your visitation. Now, if this man was not in Bible study on this day and is still crippled all over the place, people will say, but you see, he has having God. How come things are not working out? You know? So, it is very important that we take time to listen to the teachers that God has provided for us. Look at this example in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, you see two sets of teachers there. I don't have too much time, but when you get back home, you can read Numbers chapter 13, 26 to 33. But let me read from verse 30. It's a very familiar story. When the Israelites went to spy the promised land, and then they came back. And then they said the land is good, the fruit is good, everything is good in the land. But there were two teachers who were speaking to the whole congregation of Israel. Now in verse 30, he said, then Caleb quieted the people. Numbers 13, 30. Then Caleb called the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." 32. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devour its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw there saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So they evaluated how they were with them by themselves, and then they went to their minds and saw how they were in their sight. Now, you see the challenge here. Two people saw the same thing. 12 people saw the same thing. 10 came with a different report. 2 came with a different report. Now, they were both teachers to the Israelites at that point. Unfortunately, they chose to go by the 10. They went by the 10 who were looking at the people, whereas Caleb and Joshua were looking at their God. Now, so when you begin to depend on the arm of the flesh, God is out of the equation. And the arm of flesh will fail you. Now, see, very, very important that number one, you take time to study your Bible. Number two, you take time to listen to your teachers. Now, not everybody is a teacher. There are people who come around you. I call them fire extinguishers. When you're trying to build your faith, you're trying to say, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, God is going to help me with this." They come and say, "Well, I don't know anybody who can do a kind of thing like this in this kind of economy." They come and tell you stories how so-and-so person did the same thing 30 years ago and it did not work. Then I also know another person that did it in another place 10 years ago, it didn't work. But you don't have to know who did it or didn't do it. You need to know what God has said. And when God has said it, you can hang on to it and it will bring you the results. Now, the problem these people had is that they were looking at their circumstances. They were looking at the situation. They were looking at the giants. They were not looking at their God. Caleb and Joshua, who looked at their God, were spared. And the others perished in the wilderness. And of course, perished in the wilderness. Now, so what's the emphasis? You need to listen to our teachers. Now, let me give one more example there. That's very... In 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5, you know the story of Naaman the leper. You know that story very well. Now, when Naaman got to the prophet did not even come out. He just said to him, "Go and take your bath and your Jordan. Go and dip your Jordan 7 times." And he was angry, furious. What? Are there no better rivers in where I came from? I'll take my bath there and I'll be fine. But God raised a small boy as a teacher. Now in verse 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 13, it says, "And a servant came," 2 Kings 5 13, "and a servant came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, and the flesh of a little child, and was dead." You know, most of the time God is saying something to us. The people we are talking to are the ones discouraging. Amen. Sometimes the decisions we are supposed to take, I am a strong believer in a father-son relationship when it comes to our faith. Everybody must have a spiritual father, apart from God, our heavenly Father. And there are things you need to take to them to confirm. Not just anybody. Especially when God is speaking to you, as a visual God has blessed you so much in this place. And I think it's just good enough to take time out to listen to the Father that God has given. The last part of it, you see in verse 21, he says, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, if your feet must walk, Isaiah 30:21. Now, give us that in New King James. Isaiah 30:21. You see? 21:1. Your ears will hear a voice, a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left. You know, that's crucial. Number one, you must hear from God. Number two, you must know how God speaks to you. That's very crucial. When you hear from God and you know this is the voice of God, even when things are not going the way you should go, you know that the end result will be pleasant. You will always know that. And so it is very crucial that we begin to learn how to hear God and to practice how to walk with God. Sometimes when God speaks to you, you may miss it. But a young child does not stop learning how to walk because he fell one or two times. He gets up again and he continues to walk. So we must hear God. You must learn how to hear God. You must also know how God speaks to you. Amen. For example, me, if I dream, I don't take it seriously. I know God does not speak to me through that. I don't take it seriously. Because sometimes most of my dream is depending on what I eat in the night. And sometimes your dream too is a function of what you have gone through in the day. You know, when you go through so many things a day, you may likely dream about it. And if you're a young man and you like a young lady you met and you've been together during the day, you may likely dream holding her hands and walking down the altar at the night. It doesn't mean it's your wife. So you must know how God speaks to you. Now, but one of the surest ways by which God speaks to virtually all of us is what we call the inward witness. You know, it's the Holy Spirit drops something in your spirit. And Apostle Paul describes that in Acts chapter 27, verse 10 to 11. He says, Acts 10:27-11. He said, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things by the spoken by Paul. Can you imagine? You know, these are people who are experts in controlling ships, you know. And then one man, a prisoner for that matter, came and said, I perceive that this voyage will be of more disaster. John must have looked at him and said, what's he talking about? Who made you a captain in this ship? And they ignored him. Now, you see, that I perceive is what God used to speak to most of his children. Virtually all of us have that, except we don't develop it. Now, how do I know? I'm sure if I illustrate it this way, you understand better. Most of us had issues where you wanted to do something and you had a nudging inside you, don't do it. And then you did it and then you boomerang. And then you say, yay, I wish I listened to it. Or you hear stuff like, don't pass through that route, take another route. This place is shorter. And then you enter the place and then police grab you. And then the short distance become a longer distance. And say, oh, yay, and I was hearing something me telling me, don't take this route, take another route. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Can I say your hands up? Just wave it to me. Yeah. They call that inward witness. The Holy Spirit witness with your spirit, the mind of God. And then you perceive that this is it. Now, some things should practice it and perfect it. Practice and perfect it. You may not get it all the time, know, you like Pastor was sharing on Sunday, you know, you can have GPS there, so you don't have to depend on anyone. Just put the address and put the thing there, and then it tells you where to go. And some of us who have the opportunity where I live. So when we get to the road, we say, Lord, help me, which way do I take? Between Western Avenue or Terminal Bridge, which will be free? We learn to listen to what God will say. And it becomes our own GPS, telling us that we traffic here, no traffic here. Now, that little things like that helps you to master the voice of God. And you know that, oh, I think God is leading me. Now, everybody has to get that. So, if you only want to grow your faith, number one, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is there to help you. No matter how bad your situation is, even when you are going down the valley, He'll be there with you, trying to see how He will teach you and get you out. That's why I encourage people, don't joke with your regular attendance in services. Don't joke with it. Don't joke with your studying the Bible. Because every time, no matter how bad that going down the valley might be, God is trying to speak to you. You know, a woman came to me some years ago. I was very angry. He said, my husband slapped me twice. And he was very, very upset. So I said, well, call your husband. Let's talk. Both of them came and sat before me. And the man said, Pastor, I am very, very sorry. She was not my problem. My problem came from work. That my boss at work was a woman. And as I harassed me throughout the day, and then I got home, and another harassment from this one or two. He said, and I said in my mind, if I can't catch that one, I can deal with this one. Now, but you see, but that's the way I'm going. See, after the man left, she was sitting in front of me. And then she said, Pastor. He said, you know what pained me? I said, what is it? He said, I wish I listened to the Holy Spirit. He said, 2 hours before the man came, they've been telling me, when your husband comes in, whatever he says, don't reply. He said, they warned me 3 times. He said, and he came through. He started talking and talking. He said, at the point, I couldn't take it any longer. So he said, I was stupid. So I said, you are foolish. And then he descended on me. See, they always want to help us out. They always want to help us. Now, you see, but the challenge is, we like to go to Egypt to get strength. Like the story, like the passage we read in Isaiah. Rather than depending on the help of God, they have told her 3 times before her husband came, whatever this man says, do not reply. Now see, you know what happened in that scenario? I am sure the reason was I've been speaking with the man, trying to stop the problem on his side. Now, no matter what your wife does tonight, do not raise your hand against her. Now, when they couldn't get him to stop, they came to the woman and said, whatever he says to you, shut your mouth. You will have saved him those 2 slaps. Save that those 2 slaps. Now, so we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And well, no matter how bad those valleys are, they want to bring you. And they have, the greatest tool they have is the Word. The second thing is, you need to pay attention to your teacher. And in this case, I really want to say that because there are so many instructors who are not saying the right thing, you stick to the instructor that God has given you so that you know the led astray. Now you find out that all the examples we gave are instructors that are close to their students. And the last one is, when you begin to study, you need to exercise your faith. You need to do what they tell you to do. Don't be like Naaman who say, I wish. No, don't go praying to God with a planned out thing in your heart that I thought God would tell me to do it this way. That's what Naaman did. He went to the prophet thinking of how the result will be. But the prophet says, you have to go to that river here. You know, and when we begin to follow God that way, like a baby, we get more results. And then our faith begins to produce. Now, let me close by telling us, that why we need to begin to study and study very hard and create time for God is not even for today. I always tell people everywhere I go to, you can't learn how to swim when you are drowning. It'll be too late. It'll be too late. You can't learn how to get out of the challenge of life when you are in it. God will raise people for you at that time to help you out. Now, but before you get to those things, learn how it works. Learn how it works. Now, when you learn how it works, also take note, please. It may be difficult for you to lift 100 kg if you have not learned how to lift 10 kg. Something is weighing 100 pounds. You have not mastered how to lift 10 pounds. It may be difficult to lift 100 pounds. I've heard people say, I went to somewhere and I preached, like I said last Thursday, that I've not taken a tablet in 29, 30 years. I'm not even saying that. Someone says, are you me too? I like that. I plead to you. No, you just died. Because I didn't plead to it just like that. It was a gradual thing. It was a gradual thing. So, operate your faith at the level where you are. Operate your faith at the level where you are. There's nothing wrong seeing a doctor. There's nothing wrong using tablets. But you can take your faith higher as you begin to practice it. See, I always tell people, the same medicine they gave to you that you took and you leave, they gave to some other people, they took and they died. So you see God that is still at work in your life. So take it little by little, one step after the other, taking time to study the Word of God. And as the Word of God is increasing and expanding in your life, and your course has been enlarged, and you can enlarge your faith. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.